Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I would typically record in my vehicle every Monday for a new episode on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. But today and through the coronavirus shutdown, I'm recording daily episodes. So if you haven't had a chance, feel free to tune in. I have new stuff every day based on the latest, most breaking news that we are dealing with in education as we're really trying to build the plane as we fly it with all of this news from the coronavirus shutdowns and how our schools are being affected with things like e-learning and distance learning and self-paced things. So today, I'm going to talk about a really cool product, a really good company, and I hate when people try to sell me things. So I want to offer you a whole bunch of free resources so you can help yourself to any of them. Before we get into that, again, podcasts are out every Monday. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to like or subscribe, leave a comment. It helps other people find it, which is amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for those who are doing that. New episodes, like I said, every day through the coronavirus shutdown from now through the end of the school year in 1920 school year for us, which is weird to think about, but that's it. That's been the year. We're done in March. And it feels like summer vacation that's not, so that we're still getting meaningful work done is hopefully the goal of the podcast. If you want to keep conversation going, hit me up on Twitter. I'm at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan, like my last name, EDU, like teaching. I love teaching. I want to get better at it and help people get connected and get excited. That's a good thing. And I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com, like educational adrenaline. Please feel free to check it out. I have templates and resources I share there freely and a whole bunch of stuff. You're welcome to download any of it, adapt it to whatever needs you have, and I'll share today's templates there as well because it can be really helpful for people who are looking to change the game in their classroom, whether they're in the physical classroom or outside of it. I wrote a book called Adrenaline Rush, which is all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. And if that sounds like something you're interested in, I do a whole chapter today, or a whole chapter in my book, talking about the same thing I'll talk about today, which is an awesome company called Breakout EDU. If you've never used Breakout EDU, Breakout EDU is a classroom solution that looks about the size of an oversized lunchbox. And that lunchbox is locked up. What's inside, we'll talk about in a second. But outside of it, there's like a Swiss cheese-looking two pieces of metal. And then in the holes of the Swiss cheese, you slip a bunch of locks through it. So you can't get the big box open until you unlock all of the little locks attached to the Swiss cheese. And that Swiss cheese thing is called a hasp. It has maybe six locks in it. And you could put like a combination lock or a keyed lock, whatever it is. And the idea is just like a traditional escape room, your students are now working together as a class to try to break out of the room. In this case, though, there's no room to break out of. They're trying to break into this physical box. Now, as for what's in the physical box, that's really kind of a MacGuffin. It's designed to be just a thing that they have to work together to solve. In fact, if you put candy inside the box and tell them, well, guys, if you break out, you get candy, I wouldn't do that because if a kid brings candy into class by him or herself, then they don't actually have to do the activity because they already have their own candy. So thinking about that for sure, as you're making your breakout, you want to make it intrinsically motivated that they're excited just to see if they can solve the answers. Because, like a traditional escape room, you have to solve your way through all these twisting puzzles, these interlocking locks, because, you know, chamber one might get unlocked by chamber two, by chamber three, by chamber four. And you might not know while you're working on a certain chamber of a escape room that you might not have all the information necessary to break out or break in. If you were at a traditional escape room and you were walking around like a haunted mansion kind of look, maybe if you pulled the candlestick on the wall, it might open up a bookcase, and that bookcase might behind it have like a secret annex where you have to solve some clues, put the pieces of the mirror together in a bunch of different patterns on the wall, and then suddenly a laser light is reflected or reflected, and you have a chance to then, you know, shine it onto the next thing, which unlocks the next code, and so on and so forth. Now, that sounds really expensive, and that sounds really ambitious, and it's true that it's not possible to do that on a shoestring budget with lasers and, you know, big rooms that are physical. But what Breakout EDU does, it takes the same spirit of problem solving collaboratively and says, well, let's make a game out of it so a class is competing to break in or break out of that box, this elaborate scenario. So maybe they have to, you know, figure out how to stop an alien encounter from happening by launching this rocket ship off of this Martian planet. They have X amount of minutes to work together and solve these different problems where maybe they could fix the thrusters or the boosters for their rocket ship, or do something else where they can kind of collect specimens, or do something else where they have to calculate the trajectory of what it will take them to blast off into space, whatever the idea is. The ultimate goal is you're taking a bunch of puzzles that are otherwise disparate, maybe even just worksheets, and theming them together with an overarching, maybe umbrella kind of word problem, I guess, if that makes sense. And now everything that we are working towards is actually helping them get one step closer to launching their spaceship back into outer space to save, you know, this alien planet or whatever that looks like. And it might seem like a contrivance and maybe a dumb or cheesy way to get kids engaged, but believe it or not, the breakout boxes are really, really popular from littles and middles, and high school kids really get in on it. Because what you've done is taken a worksheet with a bunch of review questions and just split it up and divided it. And now you get to work together with your friends to try to solve and save the day and feel like a hero. I think that's really an awesome, awesome thing that the Breakout company encourages people to do. On their website, when you purchase the Breakout EDU box, which comes with all the locks and a bunch of like spy gear, like a flashlight with a UV lit ink and a red lens, things like that. When you solve all of these things, you have the ability to break into the box, but the different themed scenarios is another great piece that comes with the kit. So even though there's nothing physically in the box, except for like a deck of reflection cards, what was the hardest part? What did you learn? What did you work on with a teammate? If you had it to do again, how would you change it? Etc., etc., etc. What's nice about the Breakout EDU is that when you pay for the actual physical box, and it is expensive. I think $150 is the cost for the box with all of the different locks that comes with it. They give you a year subscription to their online platform with like hundreds and hundreds of scenarios that you can use for different escape rooms. So it could be like escape the Globe Theater with all the stories about Shakespeare, or escape the time travel so you can like blast off into the, you know, front lines of the Civil War, or escape the science problems where you have to fix your ship before the aliens close in on a different planet, or a zombie-themed one for Halloween, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what's really cool about Breakout EDU is it does lend itself to myriad interpretations. And once you get a feel for how the puzzles work or how the storylines work, you can kind of cobble together your own Frankenstein version of it with a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. And if you use their existing puzzles or the existing scenarios, some of them are just plug and chug. Take it, print it, use it in your classroom, which is awesome. But if you wanted to, like I said, adapt or modify, take a look at how they make their puzzles and say, oh, I could do that. So in Shape, you swap out zombies and then suddenly the zombies are gone, but the aliens are at its place. It's the same story, right? Using those things in conjunction with one another helps fit the age group of the students that you're working with. So maybe instead of working with aliens or, zombies, now it's minion madness and you're trying to like help the minions launch the rocket ship for Gru or something like that, right? Again, real easy to scale up or scale down with the type of problems you would need for your own students. Now, the challenge with Breakout EDU is that, yes, there's a price point attached to it, and it's also designed to be a class-based activity. And with a class-based activity, what winds up happening is everyone in class is working together to help the class escape. But that might mean that there are some students who are sitting on the sidelines kind of watching other students solve problems or fixing part of the problem again and again and again while they just sort of wait their turn, because once you have 12 or 15 people huddled around a simple puzzle, it's kind of hard to have everyone doing a scavenger hunt all at once. So there's a lot of time that sometimes students get pushed aside or kind of quarterbacked out of a play, if that makes sense. So what I've done when I did the Breakout EDU in classes, I'll typically take it and divide the class in half. So I'll have the red team against the blue team. And that way, if the class is 24 students, well, then it's only 12 students working together on the puzzles. Now, that means double the work, but the good news, that means half the time on the bench. So the likelihood of any one student missing out is drastically reduced. And then when I started adapting those same strategies, I was like, well, that's really cool, because then if I did it divided by half, I bet I could divide it by four and now have four teams in class competing to solve their way through the puzzles. Unfortunately, the puzzles are so sprawling, so ambitious, it becomes almost impossible to have all students work on all puzzles at the same time. You almost have to print out the red, the blue, the green, and the orange teams' sets of puzzles, and then they have a chance to solve their way out of it or through it. But that's a lot of paper to print. And now when we talk about distance learning and coronavirus, it's virtually impossible to send students printed out versions of escape rooms. And even if you really wanted to, you know, get really ambitious, printing out even one set of an escape room and then mailing it to a child's physical address when you put your hands all over it, I don't know if that's the best of ideas. So using the same spirit of Breakout EDU, there's two different product solutions that can be really helpful for teachers who want to capture that same energy, that same sort of tension, that same suspense, that drama, without punishing students for not being able to be with their peers. The first is a brand new product from Breakout EDU. It's called Breakout Home, and it will launch on April 15th. It's designed to be home-based escape rooms that parents can use with their own children or teachers can assign to their students. Not having seen the product, I can't speak to it with any degree of, expert opinion, but I do know that the Breakout EDU platform is routinely very, very good. Highly themed, highly engaging, and students in a classroom really do tend to get a lot out of that. So you take it and push it into a home space. Maybe this project, instead of being printed out like scavenger hunts or printed out, you know, word searches or printed out, solve the locks and work together as a team. Now it becomes individual. Hey, navigate this slide deck or navigate this website. And as you find answers, collect the artifacts by way of information and codes, then collecting that to put into a digital lock to break the code and break your way into it, which is super cool. If, however, you cannot wait for any reason for Breakout Home to launch, you, awesome educator that you are, can use your own version of a breakout kit or an escape room style lesson plan by simply using Google Forms. We'll talk about what that looks like immediately. I will attach to today's podcast a sample activity that works like a digital escape room. And the way it works is if you ever have visited a website and had to enter your credit card information, when you put in your credit card information, they always ask you for that card verification number, those three digits on the back. And it won't let you enter the website or like process the transaction unless you have put in your correct number from the back of your card, right? That's super cool because the machine itself is doing all the heavy lifting and stopping you from advancing until you get what it considers the right answer. Google Forms has something very similar. It's called response validation. And if you use the response validation in Google, you can have it such that the form will not allow itself to submit the next page until the exact right either numerical answer or text-based answer is entered into the form. Really helpful because that guarantees that students will do some level of work before they progress to the next area. Likewise, you can set up a Google form with multiple pages where if you answer something correctly, you move to, let's say, page two. But until you answer it correctly, you're stuck on page one. Really helpful, right? Meanwhile, if you answer it incorrectly, maybe it sends you to page three or page 17. And little does a student know that when they get to page 17, it's a dead end. Maybe it has a question that's completely impossible to answer, where it's forcing them to put in a certain number of characters, and unbeknownst to them, that's going to be like 5 million characters before they're able to navigate away from that form. Or maybe you're on page six of the form, you answer the question wrong, and it sends you automatically back to page two because you didn't answer it correctly. It's a clever way to sort of put that infinite loop kind of feeling that you would have in an escape room, that the time is tick, tick, ticking away, and then you're freaking out because you can't find your way forward in the passages necessary. So what I did for today's podcast is I have a public release version of an escape room that's used to teach students about the coronavirus. It's just simple questions about like, how do we prevent coronavirus? What is social distancing? How do we wash our hands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Each of the pages, you'll see it and you kind of can walk through it. When you get the right answer, you get a chance to ask the next question, which is great pedagogy, because then students are rewarded not with dangling carrots or with promises of candy, but harder questions as the game progresses, much like a video game, which is super cool. But when they're done, or when you're done, it'll ask you a question of, are you a teacher or are you a student? If you say that you're a teacher, it takes you to a page where it says, do you want a copy of this form? And just like that, you say yes, click the button. Automatically, if you take this on a laptop, you will then become an owner of a local editable version of the form for yourself, and you can mess with it in any way you want to. So you can reverse engineer the thing that's about the coronavirus and then change a coat of paint and make it about whatever your content is. Right answers earn them a chance to move forward in the form. Wrong answers send them backwards or all the way to the beginning of the form, with the ultimate goal of, hey gang, can you individually crack the case and crack the code and solve your way through, whether it's the zombies attack or the alien invasion or the coronavirus, whatever it is. And that's really helpful because that same spirit of that you know, trying until you crack the code and that time-based thing is what the escape rooms do so well, what Breakout EDU does so well. And now you can do it right with a Google form too. A note of caution for everybody when dealing with escape rooms or elaborate scenarios like that, do keep in mind that students are dealing with real trauma, and so making light of real trauma is something we don't want to do, even though we are trying to make them feel empowered and engaged. Like, if you win, congratulations, you've helped save the world. If you've lost, give them a chance to do it again or to practice. Don't do that thing where if they lose, oh, you got the wrong answer. Now the world is taken over by alien invaders or the coronavirus. Again, maybe some of our students are dealing with real trauma, you know, losses of loved ones, illness, and things like that. We don't ever want to trivialize that by making a game out of it. Same holds true if you're doing anything that's historical. Likewise, please don't ever make those escape rooms that are elaborately themed where you help break people out of, like, prisons or genocide or like the Holocaust or slavery. Don't do that. For a number of reasons, we should never make light of those things that are hard. And I'm not saying we can't teach them in ways that are engaging to students, but using primary texts and own voices and culturally responsive pedagogy rather than, hey guys, let's break this guy out of jail. And it sort of trivializes that person's real life suffering. So be very, very careful when you're using those elements too in your own game design. Please take a look. Would love to hear your thoughts. Like I said, every day I'll post up a new podcast. Thank you for patience and flexibility. Today has been crazy. Mondays typically get to that way with all of us back to school. Even though we're not in school, it's harder to not be in school than it is to be in school. And I spend the whole day taking phone calls, answering emails, doing video conferences. It's a lot. And if you're there like I'm there, it's a full day's worth of work to not even be in the classroom. And that's not even to say the work that I need to do with my own students, my own grading, and, oh yeah, my own diet and exercise, too. So we'll talk more about that as the week goes on. Hopefully you'll be able to find today's resource helpful. I appreciate it. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to like, leave a comment, subscribe, message me on Twitter, @MeehanEDU. I'll be back tomorrow with another podcast, hopefully earlier in the morning. I apologize for the delay today. Thanks again, and we'll talk tomorrow.